I always feel as if in baptismal services, you don't need a long message about why or what is happening, but you do need something of an explanation. So I'm hoping to take maybe 10 minutes to set out to you what's going on here tonight, and then we will get into the baptismal part of our service itself. You know you've a lot of people to get baptized, by the way, when you go through the order of service that your colleagues have prepared, and it says batch one, batch two, batch three, batch four, and batch five. So the candidates are going to be baptized roughly in groups of 10. And every group of 10, one person's testimony is going to be shared on the screen behind me. And each person leading that section is going to ask all of the candidates some questions. And then they're going to go into the water and be baptized. Here are the two questions, or something like it, that the candidates are going to be asked. Do you love the Lord Jesus? And secondly, is it your intention to serve him for the rest of your life? If they have said yes to those two questions, and they've been to the preparation classes that we have run, and they are ready, then they will be baptized. And when they go into this water, which is freezing cold, by the way, be encouraged. It might not be. That might be a little bit of a lie. You will hear this from the person who's baptizing you. On confession of your faith, and at your own request, we are now baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When they say Holy Spirit, just hold your nose, because they will plunge you under the water. They will leave you there for about 25 minutes, and then they will plunge you back out again. Why do we baptize like this? I want to read from the Bible for you and for your family. From Romans chapter 6, what then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. This is Paul writing to the Christians in Rome. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word. When you go into that water, you're going into a watery grave. It's as if you are saying as you go into it, my old life is gone and my new life has come. Now, one day, if the Lord Jesus does not return, all of us will die and our body will be treated with respect but dealt with in an appropriate way for our customs and our traditions. Many people are buried. So one day this body, if Jesus does not come back before I die, this body of mine will go into the ground and be buried. And it will remain there until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And when he returns, this body of mine will be like a seed planted in the soil. And when he returns, my body will be lifted out of the soil as a new and resurrected body. But on the night that I got baptized, which was just 10 years after I became a Christian, in 1986, I went into a pool just like this. In fact, the pool I went into was in the middle of the wall so that everybody in the balcony could see it. And when I went into that water, I was going into a watery grave. That's what Paul says. When you are being baptized, you are identifying with Jesus' death and with his resurrection. That's why we are baptizing you on Easter Sunday night. Each one of you, and if you're not ready to do this, don't do it. Even at this stage, don't do it. Because this is a serious and a holy moment. As you are going into that water, you are saying, I want the whole world to know that I belong to Jesus Christ, that I want to serve him for the rest of my life. I am not ashamed of him. It's really important you understand that. You're not being baptized into KT. You're not joining KT by baptism, although we require that people who want to become members of our church are baptized. This is the day when you are saying, I am identifying with the church of Jesus Christ everywhere around the world. This is a spiritual and a significant moment for you. And as you go into the water, you are saying, my old life is gone. And as you are pulled out of the water, you are saying, my new life has come. I'm not ashamed to say that I love Jesus Christ and I want to serve him for the rest of my life. And I know that the team that have been working with you have helped you to understand that and that you're all ready for this. I want you to know that this week I'm going to be praying for you every single day and next week, the week after that. Because when you are baptized in the week after, often you face some challenges. This is a really public decision. And when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, in the week after that, he had a really tough time in the desert where he was tempted by the devil himself. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's going to happen to you, but I want you to know that we are praying for you this week. And there might well be a time, a day or a moment this week or next week where you think, gosh, did I do the right thing? I want you to look at me for a minute. And I want you to look into my eyes so that you hear me saying this. Because you are doing the right thing. You are making the right decision. And it is really important that you understand you are not on your own in this. You are declaring something to the world. You're declaring something to spiritual forces. And you're declaring something over yourself. You are saying to your own soul, I am a servant of Jesus. I want to follow him for the rest of my life. And I am so blessed and so proud to be part of this gathering. I don't know the last time that we baptized so many people in KT, LCC, but this will not be, and I'm going to prophesy this over you, this will not be the biggest number of people that we baptize in this church in the years that lie ahead. Although I suspect that this is one of the largest baptismal services that's happening in the church in the United Kingdom tonight. Now, your family and friends might have come and be saying, well, why are you making such a big deal of this? Well, there's lots that I could say to you about that for a moment. But let me just remind you of two things. One from the early church. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, after the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the church, and the people that were listening said to Peter, who preached on that day, what must we do to be saved? What must we now do to respond to this gospel message that you have given to us? And Peter said this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the Holy Spirit, you and your children and your children's children, and as many who are afar off, all that the Lord our God will call. Why did Peter make it such a big deal? He made it a big deal because at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, just before Jesus went back to heaven, here's what he said to his disciples. I want you to go into all nations and baptize people in my name, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and I will be with you until the very end of the age. Baptism is a spiritual moment. In our church tradition, we only believe in two of them in the way that we believe in baptism. They are called sacraments. That means there's something sacred will happen in these next few moments. It's why I'm so moved and think it is so important that you all understand this. This is a sacred moment. This water never changes. It's just water. It doesn't become special water. I'm not going to pray over the water. It's just water. But when you enter this water by faith, when you declare, I want to serve Jesus, something happens with you. Now, you might feel this and you might not feel it. Whether you feel it or not, this is what happens. The Holy Spirit meets you in that water. He mantles you. He does something in you and on you. Some of you might feel that. You might be baptized not only in water tonight, you might also be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He might fill you and you might begin to speak in languages that you've never understood or learned. You might sense his power. You might break down and cry. You might be reminded of his love and grace. You might feel his heat coming on you. There are 1,000 ways that the Holy Spirit might mantle and touch you tonight, or you might feel nothing at all. The night I was baptized, I didn't feel a thing. But I know that in that sacred moment, God came and met with me in a way that he will only meet with me in baptism. He can't meet with me in any other place in the same way. So if you're here tonight and you've never been baptized in water as a believer, you're missing that. You will never experience it anywhere else. You can only experience that encounter with God the Holy Spirit in this particular way when you are baptized in water by immersion. We baptize by immersion because that's what the word means. Baptizo means to plunge, to saturate, or to soak. It means that you are pushing somebody into something and then lifting them out of it. That's the only baptism that the Bible knows. It's the only teaching on baptism in the New Testament. Plunging into water and being lifted out of it. Now, the other space where you will meet God powerfully is when you break bread. But you do that every time you take bread and juice. So that sacrament, that gift, is every time you gather around the Lord's table for the rest of your life, when you break bread and drink juice, he meets with you in a special way. That and here are the only two spaces where we believe that that sacramental thing happens. So it's a holy moment. Friends and family, some of you might be worried. This is a good decision. This is a decision that is positioning these men and women as servants of Jesus Christ. They're not signing up to drugs. They're not signing up to weaponry. They're not signing up to violence. They're not being baptized into a cult. This is a mainstream Christian church that believes in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In fact, there are very few better decisions than the decision to be baptized. So as they are baptized, maybe you are here and you're thinking, am I losing my son or my daughter or my friend? No, you're not losing them. You're gaining somebody who is declaring their love of Jesus. And when somebody loves Jesus, Jesus then helps them to love you even more. He enables them to live to their full potential. Many of you are parents or friends or family members, and you've prayed for these people. You have sacrificed for them. You have longed for the day that you would see them baptized. Thank you so much. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for your dedication. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for loving them. Thank you for encouraging them. Thank you for standing with them. Thank you for believing for them. Thank you for praying for them. And some of you will have seen some of these people making decisions that you didn't agree with in the years that have gone by. And it's been tough for you. And you're kind of scratching your head and saying, I can't believe that this night has finally come, that I am watching my son or my daughter or my husband or my wife or my friend getting baptized. One of the reasons that these people are getting baptized is because of your prayers, because of your commitment and your passion and your energy. The only thing that I think is comparable to a baptismal service is a service when you ask people if they are willing to lay down their lives to go and be pastors or to plant churches or to give everything for the kingdom of God. So on an Easter Sunday night, this is an extremely holy moment. And I want you to know that there's something very, very beautiful and very humbling about what you are going to do. Don't worry about the other 600 people in the room. You guys are the people that I am focused on tonight. Thank you for saying yes to Jesus. Thank you for being willing to follow him. And thank you for being willing to stand up and be counted for him. But let me let you into a secret. You are part of a bunch of people across the United Kingdom that is growing. This nation is in a quiet revival. We are seeing more and more young adults and men and women coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And you are part of a generation, whatever age you are, who I really believe could change the face of Britain and Europe and the world for Christ. God could mantle you with something incredibly important.